Welcome to the Solo to CEO podcast for female coaches who are ready to focus on their expertise and scale their business while their systems do the rest. I'm your host, Rebecca Marioki, a systems and automations expert with a knack for anything on a spreadsheet, a mom of three beautiful kids, including twins, a wife, and a business owner. For years, I wanted to be in control of my income and wealth while making impact, but I struggled to see how I could do this while working my hectic corporate job. I dabbled into the online business world, but soon realized that the overwhelm of wearing all the hats in my business meant that I couldn't run things the way I had always done. And that's why I started this podcast, to show you the possibilities of where you could take your coaching business with the right systems in place to better manage your tasks, teams, clients, you name it. Tune in every week for actionable steps to help you go from busy solopreneur to boss CEO so you can scale your business with ease, stay in your zone of genius, and have the time to do the things that light you up. Let's get started. You are listening to episode 7 of the Solo to CEO podcast. Now, today I am so excited to welcome our guest, Amanda, who is a very good friend and she is so authentic in what she has to share. Now, Amanda Edwards is a business mentor who helps women in all forms of business make more impact with their message and lead in their industry. Amanda has led accounts and sales strategy over the past 15 years, working in the technology industry with Fortune 500 companies. In an industry with very few women, she has had to learn how to own her voice, establish authority and lead, and has a passion in helping you do the same thing. She's created the internationally chart-ranking Imperfectly Ambitious podcast, which I would highly recommend you subscribe to and listen to. It is amazing. And her podcast equips you with tools to help you pursue your own version of success and break through what is holding you back. Amanda lives in Minnesota with her two young kiddos, her husband, and her golden retriever. Ladies, you are going to find this podcast super, super valuable. Amanda makes the topic of selling so much more effortless, and she's really showing us how selling can be done differently in a way that comes natural to your own personality and doesn't feel slimy or sleazy. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to the Busy to Boss Ladies podcast. How are you?
Oh, hello, Rebecca. It's so good to be here. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I mean, it's been a while since we've been talking about today's session, and I'm looking forward to learning a lot from you as well.
Yeah, so go ahead and just be on.
Yes. So tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. Yeah. So I have been in a career for the last 15 years in sales, in corporate sales. And I've also started Imperfectly Ambitious, which is a podcast. And I have other things now continuing on from that. But I have kind of grown up in my corporate career in a sales capacity. And I love it. I love I love just doing it differently. I love being able to see that it's the connecting, it's the human behavior, it's being able to do it in a way that is truly from a place of relationships and serving and bringing more of who you are. And I know we'll talk about some of that today, but that's what I've done in my corporate career. And then I realized, you know, how can I continue to expand on this connection, expand on some of the skills that I've learned in my corporate career, coupled with what it is that lights me up, coupled with like what my own personal kind of vision and mission is. And that's how Imperfectly Ambitious came to be. So it's kind of, I have two of those things going on, but it's all merged together. It's all related. And so here we are.
Yes, I was actually just about to say how I love how you've integrated your corporate life with your business life, and it's kind of like culminated into your purpose, and how it doesn't feel like you're this person in corporate and then you're this person in your business. So I really love that.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, and And I'm glad to hear that comes through, because I do feel that it's so important. It's all about that alignment. And I think that so often we can compartmentalize our lives as far as like, this is just my corporate career and this is who I am in corporate. And then, oh, this is my passion or the business that I want to start outside of corporate. And then this is me as a mom or as a wife, when really like you're the same person, you're a whole person. And how can you integrate it all together and align it all with who you are? And that's when you start to feel more fulfilled because you're able to do that.
Yes, yes. And, you know, something else I tell my clients a lot is there's so much you can learn from your corporate job, mm-hmm. package it and help your clients even better, which is part of what you're doing. And we're going to talk a bit about that too.
Yeah, for sure.
Hi there. I am interrupting my own episode to give you an exclusive invite to my weekly live trainings on all things system setup, scaling your business with the right foundations, and all the tech in between. All this happens in my Facebook group, the Solo to CEO community, and I do have regular guest appearances to help you scale your business even faster. Head over to rebeccak.co/community to jump in, or check out the link in the show notes. I cannot wait to welcome you in there. Tell us about, you know, I know you're predominantly in sales, and we talked a bit about how, you know, there are very few women in your area of sales. And tell us about how you were able to grow in that area, mm-hmm. especially given some of those challenges, and how you've seen kind of the sales world evolve in the last few years.
Yeah, for sure. I think when I, you know, I'm in technology sales and I sell technology to large corporations, Fortune 50 in some cases, and hospitals and banks. And, you know, it's a very technical industry. And I remember, mm-hmm. and I started really, really young in the industry. And so there were very few women in the industry, certainly very few women in the sales role. And then at the age that I was, I'm almost 39. I started when I was 24. And I found myself at first thinking that I had to be like everybody else. I had to be like my colleagues. I just had to get more technical, And everything mm-hmm. changed when I realized, like, no, I don't. I just need to continue to bring, like, what is drawing people to me in the first place? Why, what, how am I finding success and tapping into what that really means? And it was truly about like the self-awareness and being able to understand what it is that I'm already good at and how can I amplify that? How can I bring more of that and be really intentional? And that is where, again, that's where you start to really feel like you're in your zone, you are in alignment, you're making an impact, you're feeling more fulfilled, and you're standing out. Because like for me, it wasn't about like, I have to be technical enough, mm-hmm. but for me, it's about like the connection. It's about like the conviction and excitement that translates when I'm talking about something that I'm passionate about. And I have to be able to realize that and own that and recognize that that was part of my sales skills. And that's mm-hmm. part of what I love to do in connecting and presenting and building these relationships and understanding more about like that human connection piece than it is about the technicalities. For me, my colleagues, for them, one of them, you know, they might be a rock star and know everything technical, and they might be the go-to technical person. And that's why their customers really resonate with them. Or, you know, somebody else who maybe has just a process down on the back end to help customers get organized in something. And for me, it was something different, but mm-hmm. it's really tapping into that, which made a huge difference.
Oh, wow. I love what you've said about finding what you're good at, because I think a lot of times as women and as moms as well, we focus on the things we can't do well or we think we can't do well. And then we forget to leverage off our strengths and use that to lean into, you know, whatever it is we're trying to achieve.
I absolutely think if you can leverage your strengths, if you can focus on like 90% of your efforts going into maximizing your strength and amplifying that even more, and then having though like the wherewithal to be able to recognize what aren't your strengths and be able to fill those gaps, whether that's with you know, systems, technology, other people, delegation, you know, outsourcing, whatever that looks like. But really, while you're in your zone doing what you do best, how can you do more of that?
Wow, love that. Yeah, and I'm all for automating and delegating all the way.
Yes, I know.
But sales is one of those things which I don't think you can run away from completely, especially if you are selling a personal brand like most of us are in the online world. So why is it that whenever we hear the word sales, we immediately think of, you know, the sleazy car salesman and all these things we've been seeing people sending us random messages on Instagram just selling even before they get to know what our name is?
Yeah, it's the approach, right? And we've all had bad experiences. We've all had experiences that just turn us off and make us cringe and want to crawl into a hole. And we don't want to be that person. And I think you have to like back it up and look at what it is that you're putting out there. Do you believe in it? Do you believe that it can actually help somebody, that it can actually serve somebody? And tapping into that belief and rephrasing it, like you're not just, you aren't selling just a product or service or whatever yourself as your personal brand, putting it out there to say that this is a very transactional type way of thinking when you get into that mode versus what is the transformation you're going to provide? Where right now, like think about the person that you know you can help. Think about that person in your mind. Where are they now? And then where do they want to be? And then you are the guide to help get them there. You are the guide to help them cross that bridge from where they are now to where they want to be. And that transformation is worth something. So it's tapping into that and being able to like have that conviction behind you because you believe that comes through. You know, you do have to believe that, and you have to believe that, like, that you're able to do that for people, you know, that what you have to deliver, what you have to offer. And really then it becomes talking about your offer. You always hear about the sales tactics and the sales process, which is important. I mean, there's validity to that. There is a certain rhythm when it comes to a sales process, right? That there are similarities as far as like your initial introduction and you go through this process. But I think we get so hung up in like how to handle this objection, how to handle that objection, how to close the sale, that we forget about like it's really a series of conversations. It's a series of setting expectations, of asking questions, of understanding how you can meet them where they're at and help them through a process, but first believing in yourself that you're capable of having those conversations and you're capable of helping somebody. And then by you're introducing to them your service, your program, your product.
I love what you've just said. I think it's so, so important because sometimes, like you've just said, we just get into the technicalities. Like, this is how you should start. This is what the sales script should be. This is how you close. And then we get so frustrated and disappointed when we aren't able to close the sale. So
That's a key part too. Yes. That's a key part too, because it's, I think people get so scared. They fear that like rejection around sales, or they feel like if somebody says no, that must mean something about me. It must mean that either I'm bad or my product is bad or the offering is bad, but that's not the case at all. And it does take time and it takes practice to really detach yourself from the result, right? It just might not be the right time for that person. It maybe just isn't. It has nothing to do with you personally, but I think we get so wrapped up in attaching ourselves to that result, and then we get this sense of rejection.
Yes, yes. I love what you've said.
So yeah.
Just learning to detach yourself and know that what you're offering is still really amazing and believing in it as well.
Yeah. And it's like looking at yourself as, you know, you're leading them, you're leading a series of conversations, you're helping them to solve a problem. And like that, it's so much more than just, again, that transaction. So it's really elevating your mindset and elevating yourself to believe that. I mean, it's truly is coming from a place of serving. And when you can believe that, and when you can be transparent and genuine in your interactions, that's when it starts to feel authentic, right? Like you're telling them the truth, you're sharing with them something that you believe can help them, and then you're going to deliver on what it is that you promised. And so all of that is very real, right? We've gone from, like, there's this perception that it has to be, you're pulling the wool over somebody's eyes, and this sales has gotten such this bad rap, when in the reality, businesses don't exist without sales. It's a critical role. It's a critical piece. So now it's, how can you operate differently? How can you do things differently in a way that stands out and is real and authentic and genuine and comes from a place of serving, right? And it's just, it's how you look at that and operate within that realm.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love how you've just made it so simple and, you know, easy for anyone to really step into based on what their strengths are, leverage off those, and know that you don't have to have the A to Z of the perfect sales blueprint. Just lean into your strengths and know that you're coming from a place of serving.
Yes, absolutely. Lean into that. Lean into, approach it as, and I'm glad you said that. That's so true. It's not about like trying to memorize the sales process and have all these steps from A to Z. Like if you just focus today on the next conversation that makes sense for you to have, or the next communication that you put out there, or what makes sense to help guide somebody through a process, what makes sense. And depending on where that person is at, do they need to know more about your process? Do they maybe have open questions that you can help fill the gap on? Do they maybe need to hear about how somebody else went through your process or purchased your product and the results that somebody else was able to realize? Or do they need to understand like a little bit deeper connection that you have with what it is that you're putting out there? Do you need to build more of that trust factor? Do you, like, where are they at with you? And just start with that. Start with the next conversation, and then that'll lead to the next one.
Wow. Love that. Love that. And just speaking on trust, one of the things that I see a lot of people, me included, struggle with is, you know, how do I gain their trust without giving too much before the sale? Like, is it value before the sale, or do I get the sale first and then show them how much I can help them?
Here's what I'll say about trust. And I actually had a meeting today about trust with our sales team. And what the trust factor comes down to, because trust is a really intangible thing, right? Like there isn't like a, if you do this, you'll have trust for sure. But what I can say is, think about yourself. When do you trust people? I'll tell you, when I trust people is when what they tell me is in alignment with what I see that they deliver. Or if you tell me you have a set of values, and what you value, or what you're saying, like your personal brand is all about, if I see you working in alignment with that, that starts to build my trust. If I see you not working in alignment with that, and your messaging is way off, or you're not delivering what you say you're going to deliver, without even realizing it, my trust starts to go down and I start to put that wall up. And so it's, are you who you say you are? Do you deliver what you say you deliver? And do you do that consistently, right? Over time. Not to say, because trust builds up, you build up equity, and like people make mistakes all the time. I'm not saying, it's not about being perfect. It's not about not making mistakes. It's not about, sometimes you'll have times when like you might miss a meeting, or you might miss a client call, or things happen. That's not trust. That's like something happened. Oops. Trust is like that inherent like character that you just, it's a feeling, right?
Yes.
And so I really do think it goes all around to like doing what you say you're going to do, setting and following through with expectations, and just doing that over time. And for me, there's a level of transparency and accountability and ownership that comes with trust. Like if somebody is, and when it comes to sales, for example, if I'm talking to somebody who wants to sell me something and they're flat out with me. And they're like, you know what, Amanda, like they're not promising me the world. They're not promising that their program, their product, their service can do everything for me. They might say, you know what, based on what I'm hearing, what you need, this program might accomplish this part of it for you, but I don't know that it will accomplish this other part. But hey, I know mm-hmm. somebody who you could maybe work with. In my mind, I trust you so much because I still will likely work with you because yes. you've been flat out with me that like you might be able to solve part of my problem. And now you sent me to somebody else who could figure out the other part. Great. Mm-hmm. Like your credibility and your trust just increased substantially versus somebody trying to tell me and promise me the world that they can do everything for me. That's hard to believe at times, right? Like that you don't have to be that person. You don't have yeah. to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can so relate with what you're saying. I mean, you can't cheat being authentic. People will right. see right so through true. It. Even if they've just been following you for like 1 week or one yeah, day, people absolutely. Can see it. It's like uh-huh. there's this energy that you bring out.
Yes.
And people can feel it. So some of these yep. things are things that are totally in your control, even before you get to like the techniques yeah. of selling and exactly. all those other things.
Yes, because that all builds it. And that everything we're talking about now is part of it because that builds up, like it makes the selling part so much easier because mm-hmm. you're showing up authentically, you're being consistent in your interactions, you're building that know, like, and trust factor. That all plays into it. And then to the point when you have like those sales conversations, it just makes everything else easier.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Amazing. So going into a bit of the tactics on selling, yeah. what's the first step you would say someone should take to start getting comfortable mm-hmm. with selling? Because I see a lot of times, even with me, I say that I'm selling, but maybe I just talk about my offer once a week, or yeah. I say people are not buying, but I'm actually not pitching what
right.
I have to offer.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So that's true. It's first like getting your offer in front of people, right? Talking about it, getting it in front of people. But then say you're doing that and fast forward to the point where you're either having a conversation with somebody, you're messaging with somebody, emailing, in the DMs. It's really, I think people can get so focused on wanting to talk about their product and their service and tell people how great it is. At the point when you're in a conversation with somebody, well, at that point, when you're talking to somebody one-on-one, ask them, make sure you have a clear understanding of what their problem is, what their pain point is, what is it that they desire, so that you can continue to cater your conversation to them and to that, whatever it is that they are talking about. Because right. unless if you're not asking them questions specifically about them, you might be missing so many things that you could help them with that aren't part of your standard quote unquote pitch, right? Like mm-hmm. maybe your program could very well help them, but it's an angle that you don't normally talk about your program in. Maybe there are things that now you could bring out and highlight for them, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on what their answer is. So it's kind of like, hey, what is it? What is your biggest pain point right now? What is it that's keeping you up at night? What is one thing you wish you could change in your business? What is one, whatever it is that you're selling them, but to help kind of lead that conversation, because people want to know what's in it for them. They just do. They want to be seen and heard and understood. And if they don't feel like they're getting that, they will move on and try to seek that out, you know, mm-hmm. seek out somebody who mm-hmm. gets it and who can help whatever it is that they're experiencing.
Yes. So make it all about them and not mm-hmm. about
yeah.
you.
Yes. And make it about them, not about you. Remember, your role is their guide, to guide them through the process. But it's all about them. Like they're the hero in the story. If you've ever heard of the book Story Brand by Donald Miller, but they really are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing. All right. So how is there like too much? How often should we be selling and pitching our offers? Is mm-hmm. there a threshold? What would you suggest?
I think as you start off, I think one thing to keep in mind, and I know some people will say, like, say in the case of like a personal brand, or if you're in regards to social media, you know, you should sell every third post or every third email or whatever that is. But I kind of, it's also like this feeling, right? Like, how can you always be making it known of what you do, what you stand mm-hmm. for, how you can help people, how can you consistently deliver value first so that like when the time comes that you have an offer that you're selling, you don't feel like the only time you're talking to people is when you're selling something. How are mm-hmm. you always kind of delivering some valuable message, some insight, some information, entertainment, inspiration, motivation to them in regards to what it that relates to what you're selling. And then when you have an offer, you just either incorporate, you weave that in. And so mm-hmm. I'm not one to say like a hard and fast rule. I do think you have to keep delivering value. I think you need to, when you have something that you're offering, you do have to at least talk about it because people are seeing things and they're just passing it by and there's more information coming at them so quickly that sometimes it's going to take them multiple times to see what you're offering, anywhere from like 7 to 14 times you hear, right? To see what you're offering before they actually think like, oh, well, maybe I should pull the trigger. Maybe this is for me. Mm-hmm. So I think mm-hmm. you have to find ways to weave it into, like you could send emails, you could put posts together that are actually offering them some value, and then you weave in what it is that you're offering on top of that. I do think there are times you just have to come right out there with your offer and what that is and be mm-hmm. very clear about it and concise with that. So if you're doing that, putting that out there on a regular basis, whether that's once a week or twice a week, three times a week, but I think it has to be that consistency versus frequency, you know, like mm-hmm. consistency is different than frequency. You can decide what the frequency is, whatever makes sense for you, but you do have to be consistent with it. I think the main mm-hmm. thing is don't just talk to people when you have something that you want to get their money for, right? Like it's weaving it in this exchange of consistent value and then putting out what you have to offer to help them. If that makes sense.
Oh, yes, totally. That makes sense. So, I mean, if you're only on Instagram, for example, twice a week, mm-hmm. like you can't just be selling those two times. Right. You need to give value.
It's all relative. And
And it feels so much better when you give value and then you sell than when you just come on with the hard sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you start to cringe yourself and feeling like you're going to come off as salesy because you know that there's something out of alignment there. You're coming off with this hard sell when that's the only time you're showing up. And so that's where that comes into, like, if you're feeling salesy, if you're like, if you can get rid of that feeling by way of showing up and delivering value consistently, you likely won't feel that way anymore when it's time for you to offer something, because quite frankly, now you've earned mm-hmm. the right to sell, right? Mm-hmm. After you've been delivering some value and after you've been engaging and connecting, because again, put out there what you want to receive, right? Like if you want engagement, if you want connection, you have to do that too.
Yes. So I love that. So think about how you would want to be sold to and mm-hmm. then ask yourself if that's how you're selling to other people.
Yes, exactly. Think about what makes you cringe. Yes. Don't do that.
Yes, that's a nice rule to apply going forward. So I know you just talked about one book, Story Branding. Are there any other books you would recommend?
Story Brand by Donald Miller. I love that one's really good about just crafting and understanding your customer's journey so that you're able to guide them through a process. So that's really good, specifically when it comes to sales. There are other books I love, like one of the business books that's just changed my life early on was The One Thing. That book is amazing. I love that book. There's a number of them. I mean, like right now I'm reading The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek, but those are some of the more business related books when it comes to sales and being able to put all of that in perspective.
Yes. Awesome. So tell us about what you've been working on. I know you've been working on something really special and I'm sure the ladies will want to connect with you after this. So tell us what you've been working on behind the scenes.
Thank you. Well, my podcast is the Imperfectly Ambitious Podcast, which is like my heart and soul. I love the podcast. And so I've been doing that. Now we're on 100 and like 22 episodes or something crazy. And I've recently opened the doors to Elevate, which is a membership community for women who want to create more impact and fulfillment through their work and really just align their work with their lives and their legacy. And it's a membership community of just support and, you know, women lifting each other up as we do that on that whole journey of growth and what that looks like for everybody individually. So yeah, I'm excited about it. It's open now for founding members.
Yay, I'm so excited about it too. And yeah, I know the ladies are going to get so, so much value from it. So ladies, if anything that you've heard on this podcast has resonated with you, definitely check out Elevate and make sure you join up. And where else can we find you, Amanda, on social?
Yeah. So I am on Instagram primarily at imperfectly_ambitious. Or you can go to the website, imperfectlyambitious.com, and the podcast, Imperfectly Ambitious.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Amanda, for being on here and sharing so much insights and gems and so much value, which is exactly what you've been telling us to do, share value before you start to pitch what you have to offer. So we have two fun questions we usually ask our guests.
Okay. Here we go.
The first one is, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh my goodness, that one is a hard one. So many. Probably, because I love human behavior, probably knowing exactly what someone was thinking. Although I say that and that might be, I don't know if I want that. That could be bad too, but that was my first reaction.
Yeah, I'm also not sure if I would want it, but I mean, that would be quite interesting.
Can I retract that? Yeah. Go with something a little bit more safe, like flying.
Yeah. And the second one is, you've just landed a jackpot on a whole truck of the last item you ordered from Amazon. What is it?
Oh my goodness. It'd be a whole... whole track of Polly Pocket unicorn set for my daughter's birthday.
Nice. Maybe they'll help you with a lot of Polly Pocket.
Yeah. I'll just fly on the unicorn's back and look at what everyone's thinking.
Yeah. Totally. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I had so much fun interviewing you.
Oh, it was so fun. And I love what you're doing, Rebecca. You're so awesome. You're so consistent. And I just love your message and how you genuinely help so many women. So thank you for all your work.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Amanda. See you soon.
Bye.
Hi, before you leave, I want to give you an exclusive invite into my Facebook group, the Solo to CEO Community for Female Coaches, where I go live weekly to give you my tips, tactics, and strategies to help you unlock your next level business with the power of profitable systems and automations. If you like what you hear on the podcast, I go in there even deeper in the community to help you scale your business faster and get even more clients with systems that are designed to scale your business. Sounds like something you need? Jump in by clicking rebeccak.co/community in your browser or check out the link in the show notes. I cannot wait to connect and welcome you in there. In the meanwhile, do share my podcast with your fellow business besties and tag me in your Insta stories while you're at it at This is Rebecca K. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. Bye for now.